Soul and all that is within me, bless his name. God is great and he's greater to be praised. He has blessed us beyond enumeration, and certainly we ought to be glad about it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. Come on, smile at somebody. Smile at somebody. Let them know you're happy. Let them know you're happy. Let them know that you are satisfied with the Lord. Certainly God has navigated our niches and allowed us the privilege of being present and participatory in this place to praise once again. Certainly to all of our guests, we thank God for your presence. We pray that something is said and done that have a profound impact upon your life, that your life never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. My oldest daughter is here, Taylor. She came to spend some time with her mama and Diddy. And we thank God for her presence. And certainly to the youth department for your kindness, your thoughtfulness, and to our senior ministry. I tried that day. I tried last Monday all I could. And they were gracious and kind and considerate. So thank you. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord for what an awesome day we had on yesterday. We started with prayer. Brother Marzette, Deacon Marzette, led us in prayer. And then had an awesome privilege of going to Top Golf and shared with our singles ministry. Under the auspices of Brother and Sister Long, and what a wonderful time we had in fellowship. I had to teach them how to golf. Y'all don't pay me any attention. Amen. But I had a wonderful time. And listen, if you're not in a ministry, shame on you. There are ministries here for you, and we want to make sure you are engaged. Engaged and involved. You don't just come to church to sit on the pew, hear word, go out and do nothing. But you want the word of God to be active in your life. So we have ministries. We want you to be a part of ministry that the Lord is leading you to be a part of. And we want your life to be impactful. We want you to be able to share with others what God is sharing with you. Look at somebody and say, that's 2 Timothy 2:2. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:2. So you are to be a conduit that the word of God is to flow through you. Work in you and flow through you so that somebody else can be impacted. Listen, we are in a critical time. And people need light. And so the Bible says, nobody take light and put it under a bushel. But you uncover, you make sure that the light is exposed so that it can be what it should be to the people that are around you, so that they will know that the God you serve, Jesus Christ, his Son, the Holy Spirit, is alive and well. And he's the real God. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. Thank you a lot. Thank you a bunch for the women ministry leading us in devotion. And certainly to this male chorus who has sang so melodiously. Amen. Environmental safety team, media ministry, deacons and trustees, women's ministry. Amen. All of the ministries of this church. Amen. God bless you. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 22. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 22. It reads this way: by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones by faith. Look at someone, if you will, and say, by faith.
By faith.
Look at another and say, by faith.
By faith.
Come on, help me shout at the virtual audience, by faith.
By faith.
Amen. Smile at somebody again. Amen. By faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. Faith, by description, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is confidence in God, conviction from the Word of God, a consciousness of God's creative and sustaining power. For faith, and by faith, is the only way to be pleasing to God, which means that faith brings pleasure to the heart of God. That without it is impossible to please him. It matters not how you look, how you sound, how well kept you may be. You may be pleasing to people, but if you want to be pleasing to providence, You want to be pleasing to God. You can only be pleasing to God by faith. Faith is more than a concept that you rehearse in your mind. It is conduct. It is active. That if you say you have faith that has no activity, James, the brother of Christ, says that that faith is dead. He says, if you say and you boast of that kind of faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. Which means that faith requires demonstration. It requires you to obey God in spite of the circumstances and conditions. Which means that you don't wait until conditions are probable or convenient. You obey God when conditions are hard. When circumstances are hard. That's why he penned in Hebrews chapter 11, 19, by faith. Because faith has to be demonstrated. You don't need a talking faith. You need a walking faith. That's why he said, by faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. By faith, the people of God. By faith, Rahab. Because faith demands demonstration. Faith in God. We've now made it to the by faith Joseph. It is Joseph who is the son of Jacob. Jacob, the son of Isaac. Isaac, the son of Abraham. And we have been tracing the tracks of God, the faithfulness of God, as God has moved through the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, now Joseph. For he made a promise to Abraham in Genesis 15. And the promise was that his descendants, the promise is prophecy as well, because he reveals to Abraham that his descendants would be captured or held captive in a strange land. That they would be enslaved for 400 years in a strange land, and he would come or send an emancipator, a deliverer, to deliver them out of bondage after 400 years of captivity. God is true to his word, that he would deliver them out of the strange land, and he would bring them back to the promised land. That Abraham had the responsibility, he had the privilege of walking and claiming the land for his descendants. Abraham himself never homesteaded in the land. He lived in makeshift tents. The Bible says he lived in makeshift tents with Isaac and Jacob. It's until after the 400 years, after his deliverance of them from Egyptian captivity, that he would settle them in the land of Canaan. You know how they got to Canaan? Let me remind you that it was Joseph, the favorite son of Jacob, And his father had made for him a coat of many colors and gave him that coat. And his brothers became jealous of him because he was the favorite son of their father, Jacob. To add insult to injury, to intensify their hatred for him, he was a dreamer. And he had dreams that he would be honored by his brothers and mother and father. Two separate dreams. One dream was that of sheaves bowing to his sheaf. That he himself was the sheaf, and the sheaves, being his brothers, would bow unto him. That's what God gave him in a dream. But not only did he have one dream, he had another dream. And in the second dream, he was the sun, and he would send and the sun and the moon and the stars would all bow to him. And when his brothers heard the dreams, they hated him the more. And it was one day that his brothers were in Shechem. And Joseph's daddy, Jacob, sent him to Shechem to check on his brothers. And his brothers had moved from Shechem to Dothan. And there in Dothan, as he pursued them in Dothan, they saw him coming. And they had contrived a plan to get rid of Joseph. So they took him, apprehended him, and put him in a pit. And there he was in the pit until Ishmaelites, his cousins, you know, the descendants of Ishmael, they were coming by on their way to Egypt. And instead of killing their brother, they sold their brother to the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites took Joseph into Egypt, where Joseph landed under the control and dictatorship of Potiphar. He was in Potiphar's house. He was in Potiphar's house in a strange land. And the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph in a strange land. I'm here to tell somebody, regardless of where you are good if God is with you. Look at somebody and tell them, you're good if God is with you. See, God had a plan. God revealed his plan unto Joseph in dreams, and his brothers thought they could kill the dreams. But you can't kill the dreams, nor can you kill God. And they didn't understand that they were actually bringing into play, bringing in to being Joseph's dream. He's in Egypt now. He's handsome, kind of like I am. You know. He's good to look upon, and he's a muscular man. And Sister Potiphar laid eyes on him. And she laid eyes on him until she wanted to lay hands on him. One day the house was empty and she was in there alone. And Joseph was doing his daily duties. And she saw an opportunity to try to bring him or lure him into the bed. And as she was pulling on him, he came out of his garment. See, it's best to let them have your garment and not your character. See, because they got a hold of you don't mean you got to give in. But you got to fight and flee. He fought and he fled. But it landed him in prison because he was accused of trying to rape Potiphar's wife. He went from Potiphar's house to the prison. Prison. To second in charge. He interpreted the dream of Pharaoh. Pharaoh saw his wisdom, saw his knowledge, and put in second in command. In other words, he's the prime minister of Egypt. We don't understand the role of a prime minister because we don't have kings. But he was second in charge. And a famine hit the land. And Jacob told his sons to go fetch grain in Egypt. And while they were there fetching grain in Egypt, Joseph saw his brothers and recognized his brothers. But they didn't recognize him. See, when people think they have destroyed you, and when God elevates you, they can't recognize you. Y'all ought to help me preach this if you can. Somebody in this room, people have wrote you off and thought that they had done enough to you to destroy you. But in the process of them trying to destroy you, God elevated you. And when God elevates you, when they are trying to destroy you, they won't be able to recognize you. He was too exalted. He was too high. He was too prominent. He was too powerful for them to recognize. To fast forward the story. Back with grain. Told the daddy, because one of the brothers were held until they return. And, you know, the process goes on. And Jacob, with all of his sons, with his whole family, moved to Egypt. Particularly, they moved to Goshen, a fertile place in Egypt. Joseph, last time we talked about his boys at the point of his father's death, before his father and his father blessed the boys, he crossed his hands, put his right hand on the younger Ephraim, and his left hand on the eldest, Manasseh. Now, Joseph is at the point of death. He's 110 years old. And he's at the point of death. And he calls his brothers. Maybe the descendants of his brothers. I don't know, because they're old too. But he calls his brothers in. And he shares with his brothers what to do with his remains. What to do with his bones after his death. Now here's a man, old, not avoiding the conversation of death, but he's having a conversation concerning his own death. And after he dies, what to do with his bones. Let me pause to say to us, how you die, what happens to your remains should matter. Let me kind of help you. You know, some people live as if they are not going to die. You see, if you can be honored in life and honored in death. That's why Abraham had commandments, a command concerning Isaac had commands, Jacob had commands, what to do with their remains, because what happens to your remains should matter. Because you can be dishonored in death. Live your life knowing that you have to die. Therefore, there ought to be prior preparations. That you don't wait until you die and folks having to beg to bury you because you made no prior preparations. I'm preaching, but y'all saying amen. That he gave commands concerning his bones. He didn't say like so many today, well, just put me in a wood box and put me anywhere. No, he wanted to be buried with his fathers. Now, I catch a glimpse of another. I caught a glimpse of another in the Bible that had concerns about her remains. And that's Ruth. And Ruth said to her mother-in-law, will you be buried? I be buried. Your people, my people. In other words, she made preparation for her burial place. Now, let me leave you and give you 2 points and then I'll leave you alone. Because this is by faith. And here it is, by faith, Joseph faced death trusting God. He was on his way out, but he faced death trusting God. One writer said the man or woman of faith can say where there is life, there is hope. And where there is death, there is hope. Faith is the basis of hope beyond life and death. In life, the patriarchs had faith. And in death, they all had faith. The Bible simply says these all died in faith and having received the promises, but having seen them afar not, afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. All of these died in faith. See, when you have faith, faith has a hold of you. Y'all just missed it. When you have faith, faith has a hold of you. See, you're not the only one with hands. And as you're trying to hold on to faith, if the truth be told, sometimes faith is holding on to you. There were times you thought about giving up. But because faith had a hold of you, he wouldn't let you give up. Faith has hands that holds. And here it is, Jacob, in the face of death, had faith that had a hold of him. In other words, he didn't start talking crazy, knowing he was about to die. He kept it real. He kept it God. At the point of death, he never changed or wavered in his conviction of God. His confidence in God and his consciousness of God. That on his dying bed, he was still talking about God. Now you need faith to face death. Let me let you in on a little secret. I don't care how young, how strong, how spruce, how spry you feel, you have an appointment. It is in the same book, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It says, it is appointed unto man once to die. I'm thankful that I don't have to die twice because I don't want to die once, but I have an appointment. And this appointment you cannot shun, you cannot change, you cannot reschedule. You have an appointment. But what I like is after this, the judgment, which means that when you are dead, you are not done. That there is life after death. You are either going to the upper country or you are going to the lower country. But I thank God that there is life after death. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 14 says, here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Joseph, on his deathbed, trusted God for the better city, the better place, the higher country. And he's not worried about his soul security because he had his soul fixed. But he was worried about his remain. So on his deathbed, he's saying to his brothers, I trust God. Because God made a promise to our great granddaddy that we are going to leave the place of Egypt, the place of captivity, and we're going back to our homeland. Take my remains back to the homeland. So faith in the face of death, trust God. Now, I want you to miss it now. I don't want you to miss it. But number two, faith patiently waits for the promises of God to be fulfilled. Now, here it is, Joseph, prime minister. And he was in a position to let the people go. But he understood from the promise and prophecy that God gave Abraham, that they were to be held captive in the land for over 400 years. See, faith is not always doing something to alter circumstances. See, circumstances are a part of the pilgrimage. Suffering is a part of the pilgrimage. That God don't always relieve us or release us from circumstances of suffering. Because there's a prophecy of enslavement. Knowing his relatives were about to be enslaved, he did nothing, said nothing to change their enslavement. He just encouraged them in facing it. See, you think you don't have faith because you hadn't been delivered from that cancer. You think you don't have faith because you hadn't been delivered from diabetes. You think you don't have faith because you haven't been delivered from high blood pressure and other sicknesses that have come about and have invaded your body. And you make a matter of faith your deliverance. Sometimes God don't deliver you from it. He delivers you in it. That his faith is not always changing circumstances. Faith gives you the strength to bear it. That's why them children still acting crazy. That's why that spouse still act crazy. That's why people on your job still acting crazy, because God is not trying to deliver you from it. He's trying to deliver you in it. It is not always a change of circumstance. Sometimes it's a change of your concepts. It's a change of your perspectives. It's a change on how you view things. You know, you got to mature in faith. Some of this stuff is not going away. You know, some of these things are not going to get any better. People are going to get crazier. But you, as a person of faith, can be developed in the midst of the circumstance. So faith is not always changing circumstances. Sometimes faith changes you in the midst of it. I mean, you're so bothered about people lying on you. When have they not lied on you? You're so bothered about people trying to take from you. When have they been for you? You so bothered about people, you know, digging ditches for you. When have they built bridges for you? I mean, it don't always change the circumstance. God can change us right in the midst of it. He knew that they would be enslaved, and he did nothing against the will of God to liberate them from the enslavement. He just encouraged them in it. It dealt with enslavement, but then there was delayed deliverance. He's dying, knowing they got a 400-year sentence. And he says to his brothers, "Bury not my bones in Egypt." Now, it's deeper than what you hear. Because he wanted to be buried in the promised land. Now, here it is. Joseph is prime minister, second in charge. And those who are second in charge are buried in the pyramid with the Pharaoh. Now, here it is, a Hebrew in Egypt, second in command, and his heart is still with the people, the Hebrew people. That as long as he'd been serving in a chief position in Egypt, it didn't change his heart. Some people, if you elevate them, you'll lose them. So God knows how to keep you right where he wants you. And if he can't lift you without losing you, he won't lift you. But he knew that he could lift Joseph without losing him, because his heart was with his people. Bury me with my fathers. He could have had a chief funeral. High profile funeral in Egypt. But he said, "Bury me with my fathers." He said, "I know I got a long wait. But when God brings you out, because God, he's true to his word. I know it's going to be 400 years of hard knocks. 400 years of building brick. 400 years of being whipped with whips. 400 years of being a subculture. 400 years of mistreatment. But when God bring you out, I want you to carry my bone to the promised land." Is there anybody here? No, when God gives you
to His Word. His Word is good. I don't care how long it takes. He may not come when you want Him to come, but He's a God who's always on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. You ought to look at somebody and shake your head with me and tell them, yes, He is. That time don't delay God. That God has what is called due time. And after 400 years, it was due time. And the Bible says in Exodus 19 that Moses took the bone of Joseph with him, for he had a place in the children of God under the solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and He shall carry up my bone from this place. Thank God for His promise. And that's all I'm doing. I'm hanging on and holding on to the promises of God. Is there anybody here that's holding on to the promises of God? That my faith is holding on to the promises of God, and faith hands are holding on to me. That's why I wake up in faith. I walk around in faith. I smile in faith. I sing the Lord's songs in faith. I laugh in faith. I eat in faith. I worship in faith. And when I get ready to leave the sanctuary, I'm going to walk by faith. Let me ask you my question, and then I'm going to my seat. Ain't God all right? If He said it, it's settled. And when He brought them out, they put the coffin on the back. And as they were praising God, Joseph was praising God with them, because his bones were with them. And as they went into the promised land, and when they got to the spot that was for Joseph, they dug a grave and laid him to rest and covered the grave and thanked God for His Word. And that's what you ought to do. As God has brought you out, there are millions that didn't make it, but you are some of the ones who did. You ought to high five your neighbor and say, if it wasn't for the Lord on my side, I wouldn't be here today. But look at me now. I'm standing up in here. I'm sitting up in here. And I want to ask you the question my pastor asked me. Ain't God alright? If you know He's alright, let me hear you say yes.
The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Listen. Faith faces death with confidence in God. Faith patiently waits for the promises of God. God has laid in our lives all that He would that we have. And it takes time. So you have to be patient. As you walk along in life, knowing that God is bringing you into the fulfillment of His promises. That even when it's hard, when you're suffering, God is still true. Bless you, baby. He's still true to His Word. Your sufferings, your troubles don't cancel out the promises of God. You have to trust Him when there's delay. I'm not going to break before the break. I'm going to stay true to God. I'm going to keep my hand in His hand. And I'm going to follow Him every step of the way. Even when I don't understand, I'm going to trust Him by faith. I want my life to be pleasing to God. I'm going to do it by faith. Not by my own intuition. Not by my own intelligence. My smarts. No, I'm doing it by faith. That's why the Word of God says, trust in the Lord. And lean not to your own understanding. What you think is, it may not be. And we have discovered that your senses can fool you. And you can be deceived through your senses. You can see two people standing, having a conversation. And being that your mind is so tainted and corrupt, you swear on God that they're trying to have a relationship with each other. That's how messed up the mind is. You know, you can be in the grocery store. One of my friends said this one time. And you at the produce session. And here comes some nice looking person right beside you. And you got it in your mind that that person likes you. Said nothing to you. But you say in your mind that that person likes you. Your senses can deceive you. Somebody come around wearing some good cologne or some perfume. Out of all the people in the place, you think they put that perfume on and cologne on for you. Your senses can deceive you. You mess around and turning your head and you catch eye with somebody. And they turn off from you because they don't want you to think nothing, but it's too late. Because you saw them looking at you. You got this feeling on you. That they eyeing you down. Your senses can deceive you. But faith puts us proper to be used of God and to accomplish great things in our earthly pilgrimage. As we too, as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, now Joseph, faced death, able to accomplish because we're doing it by faith. And when God looks down on you, He says, look at my son. Look at my daughter. You know, He's not a man that's not touched by our infirmities. He looks on you and says, look at my son and look at my daughter. And because of their faith, I'm well pleased. Listen, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here, you're not saved. Give the Lord your life. While the blood is running warm in your veins, I just told you when you're dead, you're not dead. After this, the judgment. Second, if you're here, need of a church home, and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem on your heart as a faith family, as a place of fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the saints of God. Come, thirdly, if you're here and you're backslidden, the altar of the Lord is open to you. It's open to you. As our brethren say, the altar of the Lord, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Everyone to your feet if you will. Yep. Invite someone to Christ. Shonda Hudson, you're coming by Christian experience. It means that you're already saved. Already have Jesus Christ in your heart as Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. We have orientation. I want you to take part in it for 4 weeks. Sister Woods teach orientation. And it's a part of our Sunday school hour. So you'll go out of orientation into Sunday school. And what we want to do is just share with you assurance of salvation, how to study the Bible, how to partner with God in your giving, and fellowship. Okay? Will you do that? Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Amen. Bless you. Hold there. Sister Mary Strong has come for prayer. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for this Strong's coming. We pray that your hand of power, protection, provision be upon her life. As she has been in and out of the hospital, Lord, we know that you are a healer. And if you don't desire to heal, or if it's not your will to heal, give her grace, Lord, that she's delivered in the sickness and in the trouble. Lord, that her weakness, Lord, will reflect your strength, and how, Lord, you get glory out of our reliance on you. Touch her now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. As she go with her. Lord, as she speak, take control of her tongue. As she think, guard and govern her mind. Lord, that all will be done to your pleasure. Give her faith that pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. See you next Sunday. All right, all right, all right. What you want? You got a letter? You got it with you? Amen. She has a letter. You coming home? You, Dorothy? You coming home? Thank you, baby. Amen. Give your letter to Sister Kim and she'll give it to the secretary, okay? Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. All hearts and minds clear. All hearts and minds clear. Everybody singing. Amen.
man. May the grace of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus Christ, rest, rule, and abide with you now, henceforth, and forevermore. And every heart say, amen.